Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Where Does Money Come From? Is a nonfiction guide to the UK monetary and banking system by Josh Ryan Collins, Tony Greenham, Richard Werner, and Andrew Jackson. Written in an accessible but policy-focused style, the book explains a question that is often misunderstood even by professionals: how new money is created in modern economies. Its central argument is that commercial banks, not just central banks or governments, create most money in circulation when they issue loans and expand credit. The book uses this idea to challenge standard textbook views of banking, to clarify the difference between central bank money and commercial bank money, and to show why these mechanisms matter for financial stability, housing markets, and broader economic policy. Because it is grounded in the UK system, the book is especially useful for readers who want a concrete institutional explanation rather than a purely abstract theory of money. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how commercial bank lending creates most modern money. The book's core contribution is its explanation of credit creation. Instead of treating banks as simple intermediaries that lend out existing deposits, the authors argue that banks create new deposit money when they approve loans. This changes the meaning of money supply, because money is not mainly a fixed pool that banks redistribute, but something that expands when credit expands. The book makes this mechanism central to understanding everyday banking, and shows why public debates often miss the real source of monetary growth. This perspective also helps explain why lending decisions are not just financial transactions but monetary events. When banks extend more credit, the money supply rises. When lending slows or borrowers repay, money can contract. That dynamic is essential to the book's overall argument because it links banking practice directly to macroeconomic outcomes. The authors use this framework to challenge the comfortable assumption that money creation is controlled mainly through printing or reserve management. Secondly, why the money multiplier model is presented as misleading. A major theme of the book is its critique of the textbook money multiplier story. In that conventional model, banks are set to receive reserves, lend them out, and then multiply the original base money through a predictable process. The authors argue that this description is incomplete and often backwards for modern banking. In practice, banks usually decide whether to lend based on profitability, risk, and credit demand, while reserve balances are adjusted afterward through the payment system and central bank operations. This distinction matters because it changes how one interprets policy tools such as reserve requirements, liquidity injections, and quantitative easing. The book does not deny that central banks matter, but it insists that their role is different from the simplified classroom model. By dismantling the multiplier myth, the authors aim to improve public understanding of banking and reduce the gap between actual institutional behavior and popular economic explanation. This is one of the book's most important educational functions. Thirdly, the difference between central bank money and commercial bank money. The book carefully separates cash, central bank reserves, and commercial bank deposits. Because these forms of money are often conflated in public discussion, cash and reserves are forms of central bank money, while most money people use in daily transactions exists as bank deposits created by commercial banks. That distinction is not cosmetic. It is foundational to the book's explanation of how monetary systems operate. The authors stress that, although central banks can influence interest rates and supply reserves, the money used in most private transactions is produced through banking credit. This helps explain why large-scale reserve creation does not automatically translate into equivalent increases in lending. The book also shows why payment systems matter. Banks settle obligations with each other using reserves, but ordinary customers mostly interact with deposit money. By breaking money into these categories, the authors make the monetary system more transparent and less mysterious. The result is a clearer institutional map of who creates what, when, and under which constraints. Fourthly, how unstable credit growth can shape housing and the wider economy. Another important dimension of the book is its focus on the economic consequences of credit-driven money creation. If banks create money by lending, then the sectors that receive credit first can strongly influence where money flows. The authors argue that this helps explain persistent problems in housing markets, where credit expansion can push up asset prices rather than finance productive investment. They also connect this pattern to broader instability, because bank lending can accelerate during booms and weaken during downturns, amplifying cycles rather than smoothing them. This makes the structure of credit allocation a policy issue, not just a banking issue. The book therefore frames money creation as a matter of social and economic priorities: which activities get financed, which assets inflate, and which parts of the economy remain underfunded. Its treatment of housing is especially important because it shows that monetary systems do not operate in the abstract. They shape affordability, wealth distribution, and financial vulnerability in concrete ways. Lastly, why reform requires better regulation and a clearer policy framework. The book does not stop at diagnosis. It argues that if money is largely created by commercial banks, then monetary and banking policy should be designed with that reality in mind. The authors suggest that the current system is poorly regulated relative to its importance, especially because private credit creation can generate instability and distort economic priorities. Their discussion points toward reforms that would make money creation more transparent, improve oversight of bank lending, and reduce the dependence of the economy on speculative credit growth. The book is careful not to offer a single utopian fix, but it does insist that policy debates are flawed when they ignore how money is actually created. This reform agenda is one reason the book has been widely used in teaching and policy discussions. It gives readers not just a critique of mainstream assumptions, but also a basis for thinking about how banking could be redesigned to support a more stable and productive economy. In conclusion, Where Does Money Come From? Is best suited to readers who want a serious but readable explanation of modern money creation, especially students, policymakers, economists, housing specialists, and general readers with an interest in banking and financial reform. Its main value lies in clarifying a topic that is often simplified or misstated in standard economics, teaching the role of commercial banks in creating the majority of money through lending. Readers come away with a stronger grasp of how deposits, reserves, central bank policy, and credit demand fit together in practice. That makes the book useful both intellectually and practically, because it improves the reader's ability to follow debates about interest rates, regulation, housing bubbles, and financial stability. Compared with many books on money, it stands out for its institutional specificity and its focus on the UK banking system, which gives the argument concreteness rather than abstraction. It is also distinctive in combining explanation with critique, showing not only how the system works, but why common textbook models can mislead policy discussion. If you would like to support Josh Ryan Collins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.